So over the last 6 weeks, we've been journeying together through what I've called the Renew series, how we can renew that right relationship with God, the way that it was intended to be, the way that he created mankind to have with him way back in the garden, back in Genesis when he created Adam and Eve, and they walked with him in the cool of the day. And I won't go into too much detail about that, but this has been something that's kind of, I don't want to say it's consumed my life, but it's definitely been a huge piece of my life over the last probably 2 or 3 months. And if you want a little more insight into that journey that I've been on, I wrote my Bell article this month on renewal as well, and so I would invite you to read that and continue the conversation with me if you'd like to do that. It's just been a really eye-opening experience for me. So, but to renew is to have is to renew our right relationship with God. To restore it to what it was before sin entered the world and interrupted that plan that he had for us. And so we've covered several aspects of renewal, from spiritual reading of Scripture to prayer to worship to stewardship. It's about living a life dedicated and devoted to God. It's so much more than just allowing the whole of our discipleship to be blocked into 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday morning, which is a lot of times what Christianity has become today. A lot of people have reduced that journey and that relationship, and that the purpose that we were created was to have fellowship with God, and a lot of us have reduced it into just that small window on Sunday mornings. And it was meant to be so much more than that. Our lives have been interrupted by sin, but they're to be devoted and encompassed and just in God all the time. That is what we were created for, to have fellowship with Him. That was the purpose of our creation. And then sin interrupted all that. So today we're going to conclude our Renew series, and we're going to come to the idea of evangelism. Sorry. She's like, that sounds boring. So if we want to renew our right relationship with God, and we want to be very good, as he called creation after he was finished, then we have to get involved in this thing called evangelism. We have to be able to share the good news of what God has done in our lives. We have to be able to share the good news of our own renewal. We were once this way, and then we came into relationship with Jesus, and he began to transform us, and now we're this way. That's good news. And we have to not just keep that to ourselves, but we're called to share that with everyone else. God doesn't want to just renew our relationship with him. He wants to renew all of creation. And guess what? We get to play part in that. Once we become renewed, then we have a role to play in the renewal process. We get to be part of the plan. What a shame if we simply rest in our newfound renewal instead of doing what we can to help others find the same hope. Can we really say that we're renewed if our hearts don't also break for the lost and hurting of the world? It's the responsibility of every Christian to share their faith with others. And evangelism doesn't have to be this overwhelming thing. It doesn't have to be this thing that's out of our league. Okay? In its simplest form, it's really just talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus and what he's done in your life. And while you talk about him and while you share what he's done in your life, it's praying and it's encouraging and it's helping people come into that relationship that you have come into with him. That's all it is. It's not this rocket science of Christianity that we have to have Bible degrees and be theologians to be able to do. It's just about talking about what Jesus has done in your life, how he's renewed you. It's that simple. And it's the last mandate that Jesus gave us. In Matthew 28:18 through 20, and again in Acts 1, he tells us to go and make disciples. He tells us to be his witnesses. In short, he tells us to talk about him. Talk about what I've done for you. Talk about how much I love you. Talk about how I desire to love other people and for them to love me and the good things that I desire for them, not just on this earth, but for eternity. That's evangelism. There's a lot of reasons why people don't share their faith today. I'll just cover a few. One, it's politically incorrect, isn't it? Who are we to go tell somebody what they should believe? How rude. We've come into this age where we're seen as arrogant if we tell somebody a truth, because truth is relative today. It's no longer absolute. What you believe is fine for you, and what I believe is fine for me. And it's very rude and inconsiderate for you to share the truth of your faith with someone who doesn't agree. And so we're so worried about being politically correct that it drives us away from evangelism, which is the call that God has given us. To go along with that, we live in a postmodern world. Now, if you don't know what postmodern is, I basically just described it to you. It means that there is no absolute truth. Question everything. What you believe is great, and I'm going to believe this, and we'll just not talk about it, and we'll just agree to disagree and focus on what we do agree on. A third reason that people don't share their faith is fear. Brianne talked a little bit about that when she talked about what happens when people don't come back to church or we haven't seen people for a while, and we're afraid, right? We're afraid that they're going to be offended if we talk to them. We're afraid that they're going to be upset with us, or maybe we're not going to like the answer. And so rather than put up with that kind of rejection, we just ignore it. We don't talk about our faith because what if they don't like what we have to say? What if they're offended? What if we turn them away from God? That's a real question that I've had. You know, what if I come on too strong? And it has the opposite effect of what I intended. And so we have fear. But is our fear of offending them greater than the fear of them going to eternity in torment? Because that's the alternative. Others fail to share the good news of Jesus because they have somehow, through scriptural gymnastics, convinced themselves that it's not their responsibility. Perhaps they've reasoned that they simply don't have the gift of evangelism, and so somehow they're released from that responsibility. Nothing could be further from the truth. I'm here to dispel that right now. Because there are some of us who don't have the gift of mercy, and yet we are called to be merciful. There are some of us who don't have the gift of giving, and yet we're called to be good stewards with what we have. Just because you don't have the gift of evangelism does not excuse you from sharing what Jesus has done in your life. Some might fail to share the gospel because they have nothing more than head knowledge of Jesus. They've never truly been transformed by his power and have never experienced new birth. And so how can you share an experience that you haven't had? It's scary, but there are people in churches today like that. They have a great head knowledge of who Jesus is, a great understanding of biblical history, of the things that have happened in the Bible, of morality in general. And yet somehow they've missed the connection to have a relationship with the living Christ. How sad. And so our evangelism can actually spill into those people as well. Hey, I understand, and you have a really great understanding of who Jesus was and what he was about, but do you know him? Has he changed your life? Others don't share because of ongoing sin in their own lives. The plan that God has had for them, the mission that he's given us, has been interrupted, and it's in need of renewal. The list of excuses could go on and on, but at the end of the day, they're all just excuses. And like I like to tell my kids, excuses are like armpits. Everyone usually has a couple, and they mostly stink. If we get our understanding of what it means to be a disciple from Scripture, then we'll come away with a clear truth that all of us who call ourselves Christians, all of us who follow Jesus, are to be disciple makers. We're to share the good news with others. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is as a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." Daniel 12:3 says, "And those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like stars forever and ever." Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world, for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come." Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And John 20:21, "Before Jesus ascended to the Father, he appointed all of those who would follow him by telling them, 'As the Father has sent me, I also send you.'" He doesn't say, I'm sending some of you. He doesn't say, I'm sending those of you that get a really deep understanding of Scripture, those of you that go to Bible college, those of you that become pastors and missionaries. He says, I'm sending you, period. You call me Savior? You call yourself disciple of Jesus? I'm sending you. I have work for you to do. And then Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. I'm sending you, but I'm not sending you alone. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. You don't have to depend on your experience and your knowledge alone. I'm going to give you supernatural power with my Holy Spirit that now lives inside of you. You have everything you need to be my witness. You have everything you need to accomplish the task. You have everything you need to play a part in the plan for renewal. The responsibility to share the gospel with those who were lost was something that was evident to the apostles. When you read the book of Acts, you see that after Pentecost, that's exactly what they did. As soon as they received the Holy Spirit, they went to work. It didn't make them popular. It didn't make them rich. It didn't set them in good standing with the world around them. But it's clear that this is what they understood their responsibility to be. I've been renewed, and now I have a part to play in the plan for renewal. Jesus sent me the Holy Spirit, and I'm supposed to use that to be part of the plan, to help others come into that renewal. So today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 11, and get some insight from Paul on exactly how we play a part in this renewal process, exactly what part of evangelism we have to play. So I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So to start, let's follow Paul's train of thought here in the early parts of chapter 5 so that we can see the rationale for what he's saying in these last few verses. He begins by affirming that although we long to be with Jesus, to have resurrected bodies that are free from the pain and struggles and the temptations of our present flesh, we are able to patiently wait for God's perfect time, especially since we have the Holy Spirit living within us as a pledge and a promise assuring us that we will spend eternity with him. In verse 6, he says that we should be encouraged, confident, as we walk by faith and not by sight. Even though we want to be physically with Jesus, that our ambition and our goal in life is to live lives pleasing to him. Because he says in verse 10, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and each of us will be rewarded or repaid according to what we did while on this earth, whether good or bad. That's a really important piece leading into verses 11 through 22. It talks about the judgment day. That's a reality. That's a real thing. And part of this politically correct postmodern society that we live in, a lot of people have removed that because it's not pleasing. I don't like to think about Judgment Day, so I'm just going to take it out. It's not part of my truth anymore. But it's in Scripture. It's a reality. People don't like the idea that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, because it doesn't fit into their postmodern way of thinking, but that's a reality. It's truth. And the only way to eternity in heaven is through a relationship with Him. Judgment Day will come. There will be a day of reckoning. We have to keep that in mind as we move through the rest of this Scripture, because it's the frame that Paul creates to put around the rest of what he's trying to say here, that we have a part to play in this. That we can't just take our salvation and walk into the sunset. That we have a role to play now. That there's a responsibility given to us that accept the free gift of salvation. That we have to respond with our lives. So the rest of what he says in this chapter will hinge on this awareness. The reality that we're going to have to stand and give account to Jesus for what we did while we were on this earth. So as he moves into verses 11 through 22, everything he says looks back to this reality. Again, it's framed in this truth. This passage is one of the richest in all of Scriptures, particularly with respect to what the gospel is and our responsibility in it. You might remember that we used this scripture last year when we talked about the ministry of bridge building, the ministry of reconciliation, that we're called to be bridge builders. Another idea of building a bridge is renewal. When there's a chasm between God and His people, and when there's a chasm between the church and the lost world, the journey is interrupted. God's plan for redemption is interrupted, and so it has to be renewed. It has to be resumed. A bridge has to be built. And guess who God gave that responsibility to? You and me. He gave it to the church. We have a very vital part to play in the renewal process. We're the bridge builders. We're the ones that help span those gaps between God and His creation, to help span the gap between the church and the lost world. That's our role. That's our job. That's what we get to do. There's several things I want us to notice here, several motivating reasons why we should participate in this plan for renewal, in this bridge-building process, in evangelism. I mean, you can say it as many ways as you want, but the reality is we have a role to play in God's plan. He doesn't just want for us sitting in this room to come into a relationship with Jesus. He wants all of mankind to have the opportunity to call Jesus Lord and Savior. The number one is that we share the good news of Jesus with others because we live in the presence of God. How would our lives change if we were to consciously realize that every word we speak and every deed we do was something that we were not only going to have to explain, but something for which we would be held accountable? How would that change the way we live? Paul walked in fellowship with Christ to the degree that he was aware. He was conscious of the presence of Jesus at all times. He was living with a reverent fear of God, an awareness that motivated his actions. But even so, it was less about what Paul did and more about why he did it. Sharing our faith isn't something that we simply do because we must. It's not something we do because it's a rule. It's a part of our transformation process. It's a part of being that new creation that he calls us to be. If we're truly his followers, if our hearts truly belong to him, we will share the good news of what he has done for us because our hearts break for those who are lost, as we once were. Our hearts break for the things that break the heart of God because our love for him leads to love of others. It's something that has to come from our hearts. From our love of God and our love of people. This is what the greatest commandment means. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. It's not about being tolerant of someone's sinful lifestyle in the name of love. It's not about not challenging them because you don't want to offend them because you love them. It's about sharing the truth because the life that they're living is leading to destruction. And our hearts break for them so much that even at the chance that we might offend them, we have to share the truth with them. That's love. It's like the love that a parent has for a child. You're not going to let your child do whatever you want because you're afraid you're going to make them upset. You teach them right from wrong because you know it's going to lead to a more successful life. It's going to keep them out of trouble. It's going to keep them on the path that you have for them. We can't just be tolerant of someone's sinful lifestyle because we're afraid that they might be upset. We have to have our hearts break for the things that break God's heart. We have to allow our love for Him to lead to our love of others. And sometimes that means tough love. It's about sharing the truth and then sticking around to journey through it with them. It's about working out our salvation with fear and trembling together. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This Christian journey that we're on was never meant to be walked alone. God created us to have community, first with Him and then with others. We have to do it together. Next, from verse 14, we share the good news of Jesus because the love of Christ compels us. John 3:16, probably the verse that every Christian and most non-Christians know. God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says that God commended His love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It was love that sent Jesus to the cross. God's love for His creation, His love for humanity, His love for you, and His love for me. That same love is what kept Jesus on the cross, and that same love is what Paul said compelled Him. Compelled Him. The word translated as compel carries with it the idea of pushing from every side or forcing. Basically what he's saying is God's love was so overwhelming in his life that he just couldn't help it. God's love was so overwhelming in Paul's life that he just couldn't help sharing the good news. Do we have that realization of God's love? Is it so overwhelming in our lives that we just can't keep it in? That it's just spilling out of the seams in our lives? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if Jesus has given you new life, shouldn't His love possess you as well? Do we have compassion on those who are lost? Or are we content to see them live aimlessly and drift away? Both as they waste their purpose here on earth and then fade into eternity of torment? Or do we love them enough to find some way to share with them that Jesus loves them, that He died for them, that He will forgive their sins, and that He will give them eternal life? The love of Christ should compel us. It should move us to action. It should be so overwhelming in our life that we just can't hold it back. It should lead us to live in a new way, which leads to my next point. From verse 14, we share the good news of Jesus because as His followers, we are no longer living for ourselves, but we're living for Him. That's the simplest way that I think Paul can say it. It's plain as day. Our life is not our own anymore. We've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we've sacrificed ourselves to Him. Romans 12:2, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now, do you think God finds it pleasing when we keep that good news to ourselves? When the transformation and the great things that God has done for us in our lives, we just keep it in because we're afraid to share it. Romans 6:4 and 5, therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we've become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. And Paul's point here is that if Jesus truly lives in and through us, if in fact we have died to ourselves and live for him, our lives are spent serving him and not ourselves. And if we're truly living for Jesus, how can we keep from sharing the gospel? This is what he's talking about in verse 17 when he says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. The person who has come to know Christ, who has been renewed, who has a new outlook on life, a new mission or purpose for living, instead of living for themselves, now they're living for Jesus. They're living to further his message, further his kingdom, take part in his plan for renewal of all creation. One of the most true evidences of a person who is born again and in right relationship with God is that they talk about their faith. You've heard the saying, the proof is in the pudding? That's it. If our relationship with God is that real, if it really is the most important thing in our lives, which a lot of us say that it is, why don't we talk about it? Why don't we talk about the great things God's done in our lives? Because we talk about a lot of other silly stuff. And none of it is going to last into eternity. But our relationship with Jesus will. If you're truly transformed, if you're truly a disciple of Christ, if he's truly impacted your life, you won't be able to help but talk about it. Because all things have become new. The old way of living, merely for ourselves, is gone. And we're made new, brand new. Our purpose has been renewed. Our purpose is resuming after being interrupted by sin. And finally, number four, we share the good news of Jesus with others because God has assigned us the job of helping others into renewal. He's given us the mandate to be bridge builders, to share the gospel, to do the work of the kingdom, to play part in the plan for renewal. I don't know how many other ways I can say it. We have work to do. That's what reconciliation is. It's to make peace where there is hostility. Those who are lost are hostile towards God. They respond more to their flesh than to the truths of the gospel. And it's our job to bring peace to that hostility, to bring renewal. As ambassadors for Christ, it's our job to be disciple makers, to be the ones who seek to bring peace between others and God. In the relationship between God and humanity, it was humanity who sinned against God. And it's humanity who continues to sin against God. So he's enlisting us to help. He's enlisting us to share the truth of his love, the truth of eternity, the truth of the coming day of judgment, and the truth of salvation through his son Jesus. In verse 21 it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our job, our responsibility, our renewed purpose is to share the good news with others, to be ambassadors. To be an ambassador means we're going on his behalf. When a dignitary sends an ambassador to another country, that person embodies all that the dignitary stands for. They represent him. And so Christ has entrusted us to be his ambassadors, to represent him here on earth. Now, whether we do that intentionally or whether we just go through our motions and wear the badge Christian, we're ambassadors. We're representing Christ, either in a positive light or in a negative one. So when somebody knows that you're a Christian, they know you have a relationship with God, they know you go to church, but you live like you don't. That's how you're representing Christ. We are ambassadors. We never get to take that day off from being an ambassador for Christ if we're a Christian. We're called to share the good news, to share the gospel, to be disciple makers. And yet the question remains, why don't we do it? Where's our fear of the Lord? Where's the knowledge of standing before his throne? Where's the love of God in our lives? Are we more concerned about what others think of us than we are about them spending eternity in hell? What about dying to ourselves and living for Jesus? Is it real or not? Sharing our faith shouldn't be optional, but we've made it optional. It is a necessary part of our journey with Jesus. It is an absolute sign of our transformation. Christ's love compels us. His love is so overwhelming in our lives that it should spill out of us. So will you talk to someone about Jesus? Will you tell them what he's done in your life? Will you build a bridge? Will you take part in God's plan for renewal? These are questions to take with you, to pray about, and to answer. More with your life than with your words, but I think it starts by deciding what you'll do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have set into motion this plan for renewal. Lord, it is so awesome when I read, even in Genesis 3, it almost seems instantaneous after the fall, after mankind sinned against you, that you went into action and you started the renewal process almost that second. And Lord, it's even more overwhelming that you love us and trust us enough to give us a part in the plan. Lord, I pray as we continue to journey with you, as we continue in that renewal process through reading our Bible, through prayer, through good stewardship, through worship, Lord, that you would just continue to mold us, continue to transform us, help us to become new creations. Lord, it's not an instantaneous process. It's not an overnight thing where we go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden we're doing everything right. And so, Lord, I thank you for the grace in that, that it's a step-by-step journey. Lord, help us to just share what you're doing in our lives, to love people. Lord, move us into a place where our hearts break for the lost and the broken. Help us to take your call to be disciple makers seriously and to move our lives in such a way that we can see fruit, not for ourselves, but for you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.